So, Kaylin, who are we going to cancel today?
How about we cancel Kanye West and his anti-Semitism?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, there's so much we could cancel this week, but that seems like a good place to go. Hey everyone, I'm Kaylin Burns.
And I'm Olive Rash Klein.
And you're listening to Cancel Me Daddy,
the show where we take a closer look at all of the panic around cancel culture
with thoughtful analysis
and verbal shitposting. Okay, so Kaylin, there's something that I want to cancel.
Okay, let's get into it.
I want to cancel the concept of mail.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, so first of all, I just find mail to be really overwhelming. Like, you get a lot of mail. Some of it is junk mail. You have to go through it. Some things need to be shredded because of, you know, identity theft stuff, I guess. So and it's just this whole hassle, right? Mail is just such a hassle. And so I need to get my driver's license renewed. And so I had my mom send me my birth certificate. And it didn't arrive. It just didn't come. I have the tracking number. I've checked with USPS. They it was apparently delivered to my address and it was in a really nondescript envelope. So no one wanted it. And it just isn't there. I'm checking with my neighbors. It has my dead name on it. So I'm having to go around and be like, hi, I'm Oliver. But also this mail I'm looking for has this other name on it and tell everyone my dead name. It's just a blast.
What a nightmare. Maybe it just got lost in the mail.
I don't know. It said that they apparently have GPS tracking now and they do a scan where they deliver it. And it was apparently delivered to the right building. And I know that my neighbors didn't get it because they're really good about this stuff. Yeah. And so I just don't know what happened. And I'm very frustrated because I'm doing a lot to get my life together and things just keep going wrong, but I'm trying so hard and I'm going to keep trying and it's going to be okay.
I think you're going to make it eventually. You just have to power through it.
Okay. So I am excited about today's episode. Can you tell us a little bit about what's coming?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Tal Levin, who is an amazing writer, a friend of mine, who's an expert on the far right and anti-Semitic hate movements and just far right hate movements in general. And we had a really great talk about Kanye West and what's been going on with him recently, although I have to say, we had a plethora of options for show topics this week with everything that's going on. And of course, the election that's coming up next week. So, but I thought this was a really important issue area that we haven't done a whole lot of coverage on to date. And the conversation that we had with Tal was really great.
And before we get to the show, we, of course, have to do our shameless self-promo money plug. So if you love this show, if you want more of it, you should become a Patreon, which is at patreon.com/cancelmedaddy. If everyone who listened to the show just gave $1, we would have enough money to become a weekly show, which would be incredible. And so if you want to just give a $1 or $3 tip, to help support the show, that would be awesome. We also have other perks like $5. You can submit to our out of context cancellation. There are other perks like getting the show early, et cetera, et cetera.
It's patreon.com/cancelmedaddy.
Okay, let's get to the show.
We're very happy to have on the show today author Tal Levin, who wrote the book Culture Warlords, which is an excellent read. I recommend everybody go check it out. And they also produce a Substack newsletter called Sword and Sandwich that I also recommend people check out. Tal, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hope this doesn't mean I'm actually canceled.
No, we're going to talk about somebody else who was allegedly canceled, and that being Kanye West. So for those who don't know, the rapper slash entrepreneur has had a not so great couple of weeks, just spewing the most vile anti-Semitism that you can think of, and had a contract canceled with Adidas and a couple other business opportunities that kind of dried up as a result of it. But I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on everything that's gone down recently when it comes to Kanye West.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like news moves so fast that it's like,
yeah.
Can we talk about the like rapper who said he wanted to kill all the Jews, or like the murder attempt on the Speaker of the House? you know, I think it's all in a continuum. Yeah. No, but Kanye or Ye or Yeezy or whatever. I think he's been going by Ye lately. Has just been okay. Like straight up, like he's like, I want to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews like 2 weeks ago. And then mm-hmm. ever since has just been like going on like podcasts. And also it's like these very, it's interesting. It's like the sort of collusion of the canceled, where you have like his other big media appearances have been like on Chris Cuomo and like Piers Morgan, mm-hmm. both of whom like were sort of taken out of the relevancy circulation and then are like, this guy seems to be in like a manic episode and spewing anti-Semitism. Like, well, let's interview him to gain back our relevance. So it's just really like a writhing rat king of grossness. to me, the funny parts is when like he's like, the Jewish media is making me look unstable and violent. And like, I don't know. Kind of seems like you're doing that all on your own.
I think the concerning part for a lot of people is, I don't know if incident is the right word, but like the whole incident of his comments have sort of poured gasoline on an already burning fire of anti-Semitism. Would you say that that is an accurate way to say it?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's really tempting to dismiss this as just, like, another frivolous sort of celebrity gossip story. And, of course, like, there are elements of that. You know, there's also, like, mental illness elements. Like, you know, he's sort of complaining that I think he was diagnosed at one point with bipolar. And now he's saying it was Jewish doctors who cast this aspersion on him. What's also interesting is that, you know, none of what he said has been ambiguous in any fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there isn't the winking. There isn't the sort of, like, globalists and, like, all the various and multifarious euphemisms that sometimes get employed in this arena.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, the Jews are bad. And, like, the Jews are sneaky and nefarious and in control. You know, the Jews are controlling these various industries for evil purposes. Jews aren't really Jews. I want to kill them all. Like, it's like not ambiguous in any fashion. And yet, because he got kicked off Twitter again for saying like, I want to kill every Jew. Like, you have these defenders saying like, oh, what? Like, he can't question. He can't speak the truth. And it's like, what is the question? Is the question the Jewish question? Is that the question? You know, and then people kind of coming out with their own anti-Semitism support. Like, to me, it's just like, I have felt for a long time that there's this sort of always barely restrained current of like very intense anti-Semitism in this country, roiling like just underneath the surface. And sometimes it crackles out in like, you know, a synagogue massacre or, you know, like many, many other sort of lower profile incidents, like, you know, graveyards being desecrated and swastikas painted on synagogues, like stuff like this is like fairly routine. Anti-Semitism is the absolute core of like the far right of white nationalism. And so what was interesting about Kanye's comments is that immediately they were taken advantage of by far right groups. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's this like far-right group in California, the Goyim Defense League. Yeah. Goyim is like the Hebrew word for Gentiles. It like does not really have a negative connotation, but neo-Nazis love calling themselves Goyim because they're like, we speak your language, blah, blah, blah. Like, congratulations, like the most common word.
Yeah.
And you're not even like using it correctly. There was like a far-right group called the Jewish Defense League.
Mm-hmm.
They appropriated that. And so the Goyim Defense League did a banner drop on the 405 in LA where they put out a banner that was like, honk if you know Kanye West was right about the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, Revelations 3:9, which is like, and I shall call you the synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or like, I was getting, you know, a particular barrage of anti-Semitism that week, and a bunch of the comments were like, Kanye was right about you people. And I'm like, okay, cool. So what we're seeing is like a created permission structure and like an easy sort of talking point or touch point for people already committed to sort of genociding the Jews.
I was reminded, I think it was last weekend, was the 4-year anniversary of the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. And the only reason I know this is because that's the weekend that I got my cat. people who listen might not know this, but mass shootings really hit me hard. I was in high school when Columbine happened, and I remember that weekend so very clearly because we had a whole rash of shootings all over the country, and I was covering all of them. And then that shooting happened, and I immediately decided, okay, I can't like live in this world by myself here in DC at the time. I've since moved away. So that's the weekend that I got my cat. But like, tell us what it's like to just exist as a Jewish American person right now in this political moment.
Well, I think, you know, especially for people who live on the coast,
mm-hmm.
And in big cities, like there isn't the knowledge that millions of Americans have just never met a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have gone their whole lives and like never met a Jew, or like maybe they met a Jew and didn't know. And this really blows the mind of people from like New York or LA or where there are like big established Jewish communities. But it's like 10% of the Jewish population of America like lives in those two cities alone. Yeah. So it's like, you know, really uneven distribution. We are an urban people. Like in part because like our worship, we don't drive on the Sabbath, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for if you're talking about communal worship within walkable distance, like that demands sort of a more gathered space.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like one sort of exemplar of like being a Jew in America is always weird.
Yeah.
Like at best, it is weird and, mm-hmm. and often uncomfortable. Like this year in particular with Roe, it's like there are these laws and they directly go counter to like Jewish law. Jewish law is very uncompromising about saving the life of the mother over the life of the fetus in every circumstance,
yeah.
up to and including like mental health. And this is like written out in like the Talmud, and there are countless rulings for that. So, you know, but when you're a religious minority in an like overtly Christian country, it's just already an uncomfortable position. And then the added benefit of like, all of these insane like myths and rumors and weird tangles of reputation that precede you. So like one thing that was interesting, I wrote an article about this whole Kanye business, and, uh-huh. and I kind of talked about how being a Jew in America feels like this high wire act. Like a lot of us came post Holocaust, like my grandparents, you know, survived the Holocaust and came here. There's always the sense of like borrowed time, looking over your shoulder, you know, because, you know, Jews had a golden age in Germany before shit went down. So it's like prosperity and acceptance are sort of, if you have innate ancestral paranoia, it's like these seem like temporary conditions. And it's like, there's always been this question of like a friend in Canada who keeps asking like, what's the point in which you're going to cut and run?
Yeah.
So one thing I just like put out there in a tweet when I tweeted out the article was like, lots of Americans have never met a Jew, but like every American Jew has had an experience of someone getting really, really weird about them being Jewish. And I got like so many responses of just like people talking about, you know, oh, like someone checked my head for horns. Constant, you know, you people are so good with money. Like, I can't believe you really don't believe in Jesus. You killed Jesus. And like again and again, the horns. Some people lose all common sense when they're encountered with a real life Jew. And then the other sort of two big incidents of anti-Semitism that like have been sticking out besides Kanye, if we're talking about just like public sphere, weird old anti-Semitism, was like Trump did a Truth Social a bit ago where he's like, evangelicals are more grateful for what I do in Israel like than American Jews, and American Jews should like shape up before it's too late, because he always talks like he's like a third-rate gangster in like a Martin Scorsese B-list film. And then Doug Mastriano, who is the GOP candidate for governor in Pennsylvania, has been making pretty, first of all, he's every bad element of the far right that like people like me have been like, this is a matter for concern, is like an integral element of the Mastriano campaign. Like militias to like Christian prophets who are like prophesying the, you know, Trump as savior, to just like the whole raft, whatever concerning element you have, whether it's like the armed gangs or the sort of doomsayers or the election deniers, are all like, you know, integral elements of Mastriano's campaign. So Mastriano's opponent, Josh Shapiro, is Jewish. And Mastriano has been making these comments that are just like, he went to like elite schools. He went to a Jewish day school. You know, he's not really like one of us. Like, it's just like very, very, very thinly veiled anti-Semitism. Mastriano is not a subtle guy. Mm-hmm. And Shapiro sort of called him out on it. So Mastriano and his wife, they did a presser. They were like, well, we love Israel more than the Jews do. And so
I saw that
there's this common theme there of like a totally different strain of anti-Semitism than the Kanye sort of classic protocols of the elders of Zion, like the international Jew, like shit, but like no less pernicious and like arguably more influential. And that's Christian Zionism. Do you know much about Christian Zionism, Kate?
I know just enough to know that I don't want to know more.
So how would you describe it?
Evangelicals who support Israel because their apocalypse fantasy prophecy, whatever, requires the destruction of Israel before the return of Jesus. Did I get that at all right?
I mean, yeah, like pretty damn close. Like there's this really dominant philosophy in American Christianity, especially American evangelicalism and Protestantism, called premillennial dispensationalism, whatever. It's just like Jesus is going to have a 1,000-year reign on earth. And like, let's bring about that. Let's make it happen. Basically, it's just like the end times are nigh and like, let's bring them about is a huge part of American Christianity. And this element specifically of sort of end times prophecy and obsession with the apocalypse has become more and more prominent since like roughly the 1970s. So like how Lindsay came out with this book, The Late Great Planet Earth, that was a huge bestseller. And then in the 90s, there was the Left Behind series. So, you know, it was a series of novels. I actually picked them up by accident as comic books during my Batman phase. And then I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Like teenage me was like, oh, cool. Okay, interesting. Oh, wait, this is weird. Why do they keep talking about Jesus? And then I figured it out eventually. And there's also like a Kirk Cameron sort of like straight to VHS movie adaptation. It's this very like intense apocalypse fantasy with biblical scholarship by this guy, Tim LaHaye. And all of them lay out this very concrete vision for the end of the world. Like, you know, the rapture will happen and it's half the people of the world like zapped out of their beds. But also like it is impossible to overstate how central Israel is in all of these constructions, which are presented as like, this is what the Bible says, even if it's like very intense extrapolation from, you know, like the weird mess that is Revelation, the book. But they're all like, basically like all the Jews have to be in Israel. Jesus will return and a small remnant of the Jews will convert, the righteous remnant. And then like all the other Jews will perish, like in fire and sword.
Holy shit.
So the central Christian Zionist fantasy is like, we need to get all of you guys over there so you can convert or die when Messiah returns. So it's like, it is a fantasy of elimination. So it's like, yeah, we love Israel more than the Jews do. It's like, well, okay, no, you love an apocalypse fantasy where we die. Because like the return of your Messiah is like central, like our death is like the key to the return of the Messiah. Like the Left Behind series is like opens like with, you know, some scholar discovering something in Israel. Like you see all those infomercials like on evangelical channels about Israel, like prayers for Israel. Bolsonaro's wife went to vote yesterday in like an Israel t-shirt. Yeah. All of this is like totally Christian Zionism. The Israeli government is kind of like, cynically, they're just like, okay, cool. So your fantasy of our elimination is contingent on Jesus returning. Like, I guess we'll take our chances. So they've sort of forged this partnership with evangelicals, particularly U.S. evangelicals, but also Brazilian evangelicals. Mm-hmm. But it has like not been without its price in that this is a very, 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 very right-wing milieu. And like the Israeli government has been beholden to and therefore extremely like right-wing over the past couple of decades. And again, this is all about Israel and the Jews. Like the existence of Palestinians is like they're like, okay, just kill all the Palestinians. They're not relevant. Mm-hmm. Like they're super, super hard line on the Palestinians and that they're like, well, these guys don't really fit into the whole beautiful end of the world where all the Jews are over there. So they're like obsessed with killing Palestinians too. Or just like when they even bother to think about it. But at any rate, I think it's interesting that like a huge amount of American foreign policy is like literally dictated by the apocalyptic fantasies of people who are like, gotta maneuver the chessboard into place so that like all the Jews die at the right time.
That is very horrifying.
It's also just like, as an American Jew, it like totally negates any idea I have about my existence where I'm like, I actually was born here. I have a history here.
Yeah.
You know, half my family was accepted here as refugees, half my family has been living here for generations. I consider myself an American. And the sort of just studied insult of viewing like every Jew as just like Israelis in potentia, like chessboard pieces for like somebody else's apocalypse. It's like such a gross instrumentalizing vision. Like, and then it also ends in our annihilation. So it's like, with friends like these, you know, who needs enemies? They look at us and you just feel the blood behind the smile. Like, it's so creepy. Like, I'm like, you want to acquire me, like, and use me. And like, it's so fucking creepy. But like the sort of school that's most obsessed with end times prophecies is called charismatic evangelism, and it is the fastest growing segment of the American church by far.
Oh, okay. Yikes.
There are these people who claim themselves to be prophets and apostles, and they have these prophetic revivals and you know, prophetic healing, and it's very ecstatic, and it is like a very fast growing segment of the American church.
Do you think the stuff with Kanye will sort of speed that along, that growth?
It's interesting. It's like you could sort of like say these are two different kinds of American anti-Semitism. They're different, like, maybe never the twain shall meet. Like, Kanye's comments come, like, straight out of, like, a very long, very old, like, very stale history of, like, shit people say about the Jews. Like, it's very classic. It's, like, straight, like, vintage, like, Henry Ford or, like, Erwiga Judah. Like, this idea of, like, racial cunning and, like, you know, in-group solidarity to fuck over everyone else. It's the protocols of the elders of Zion. Stopped and screwed for 2022. But it's, like, very samey. Like, oh, yeah, really? We control the media to fuck you over personally, Kanye West? Okay. All of Jewish history has led up to this moment where we decided to make Kanye West look unstable and bad.
Okay, so I thought all of Jewish history led to this moment where we could turn everybody transgender. But apparently I was mistaken.
So, oh my God, I sound so tendentious. This is the trouble with being invited to podcasts to talk about, like, the thing I wrote a book about is, like, I'm going to tell a joke. And I'm like, actually, I have a lecture.
Lecture away, please. This is why we're having you on here.
No, well, I mean, I was like, as, like, a trans Jew, I'm just like, yikes. This is, like, yikesy time to be alive in this country. And, like, especially on the eve of the midterms, I'm like, meh. How's this gonna be? Anyway, it's like, so the reason why, like, the far right seizes on someone like Kanye, who, like, has more mainstream presence than, like, the fucking Goyim Defense League that no one's ever heard of, is because it gives them, you know, purchase to talk about the ideas they already have. But, like, when you look at what the ideas of the far right has, it's like a lot of people have been, like, pretty surprised when I tell them about how anti-Semitism works, like, on the far right, because they're just like, aren't Jews white? And I'm like, yeah, like, a lot of us are of European descent and, like, white passing, although that's a fairly new phenomenon. It's like in the last few decades, but, you know, the core of the white supremacist objection to Jews is that people think we're white. They're like, you infiltrated whiteness to destroy it from within. That is, like, their core accusation against the Jews, is that we're like these double agents who've snuck inside the heart of whiteness in order to, like, bite its pure and innocent heart and suck it dry, like the vampires we are. And there are many ways that we do that. So I asked myself, like, what is the role that anti-Semitism serves in the white nationalist movement, on the far right more broadly, where anti-Semitism is just sort of de rigueur? And the answer is, like, it is their intellectual structure. Like, it is the way they explain things. They're like, okay, you know, because they come out and say, like, there are self-evident principles for how the world should be, like, gender roles should be fixed and women should be, you know, inferior and submissive and, you know, the white race should be on top of things without question. This is the natural order of things. So then it's like, well, if this is the natural order of things, why are things different than that? And the answer to that, my friend, is it's a Jewish plot. So all of it.
Got it.
Trans people, Jewish plot. You know, gay people, that's a Jewish plot too, to decrease white fertility. Like, immigration, it's white genocide because of the Jews, which is why that theory is why the Pittsburgh shooting happened. I mean, it's really just, it gets really old, but it's like, that is their singular explanation for why stuff. Like, feminism is a Jewish plot. There were a lot of Jewish feminists. I think that's, like, awesome. Like, Shalom of Firestone or whatever. You know, and I think you and I have talked about Magnus Hirschfeld before.
Yes. Yeah. So Magnus Hirschfeld was a 20s, 30s, German sexologist. He had a sexology clinic in Berlin. It was basically his clinic that first pioneered like the it's actually the same gender reassignment surgery for trans women that we have today. So they were sort of like the inventors of that technique. And his clinic and most of the works that were recorded at his clinic were actually burned by the literal German Nazis in the 1930s. In fact, a lot of the famous, you know, Nazi book burning photos that we still have are actually Nazis, you know, burning the records of this LGBT sexology clinic from Berlin. But also Magnus was Jewish, and that, you know, definitely played a big part in it. And you see parallels of that today in the anti-trans political movement, where we're still having to deal with this crossover.
Anti-Semitism/transphobia, the classic enduring hit. It's just like so telling to me that like those photos of like the giant book burning in the Berlin's biggest square were these priceless archives. Like Hirschfeld was like this, seemed like a really good dude who like dedicated his life to like talking to and treating like the Weimar Republic's like sizable like LGBTQ community. And he was just like, okay, you want to be a woman? Like, let's make that happen. And he did all this ethnography and like, yeah, had all these records. And it literally, it's like only now are we like maybe approaching that level of sort of openness. And it was like so much progress was lost, it literally in the fires.
And the other thing too is the patient records from his clinic were not burned. They were confiscated by the state police and used to later round up LGBT people for camps. And then at the end of World War II, when the camps were liberated, most of the people that were, you know, put into the Nazi camps for being LGBT were kept there even by the Western powers. You know, in the United States and Great Britain and France, you know, came in and sort of had that administrative state over West Germany, they still kept the imprisonment of the LGBT Nazi prisoners going after the war. So, you know, we're still struggling with this legacy now, 80 years later.
Yeah, and I think you see a lot in anti-trans rhetoric, this idea that, like, you know, it's this agenda, it's this plot, it is backed by greater powers, right? And like, mm-hmm, very often that kind of rhetoric is like a sneeze away from anti-Semitism. And there, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there have been sort of TERFs who have like very much trod into that territory of sort of like, it's the Jews.
Yeah, I don't want to name any names because some of them are quite litigious. But yes, that's correct.
Like, the Jews are trying to make your kids trans. And we see that also in the anti-LGBT movement more broadly, the one that's sort of, mm-hmm, red-jawed hysteria right now, like whipping up violence against queer people, and this obsession with schools, like the rally to end child mutilation that fucking Matt Walsh created. And there is an element of anti-Semitism there as well. Like, it is very much, mm-hmm, maybe like just under the surface, but not very far. It's like, oh yeah, and like they are, yeah, trying to make your kids gay, they are trying to mutilate your kids, and then like, well, who's they? Mm-hmm. And because anti-Semitism is sort of the or template of conspiracy theory in the West, it's got like 1,000 years on all other forms of conspiracy, you know, it's right, mm-hmm, there, right under the surface.
Yeah. Well, Tal, I'm sure we could talk about this all day, but I do want to respect your time. So I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. But I just wanted to know, like, is there anything about all of this that maybe we didn't touch on that you think is important for our audience?
Oh, God. I mean, the thing about anti-Semitism is it's very like you think it's this small issue and then you realize it touches so many other things. Mm-hmm. It's like this weird arthropod with a lot of limbs that just like wherever like a reactionary group is like, I don't like this element of progress, like there is some part of them that is like finding the Jews to blame. Mm-hmm. anti-Semitism has been an integral part of Western culture since about the 11th century. You can look back at to around like the Black Death to find your first sort of like Jews are in a cabal colluding like around the whole world to create the plague as vengeance. And so that sort of like cabal, secret society, plot idea is like that old. And that's why it's so foundational to so many conspiracy theories. And so, you know, if I sound a little wild-eyed like describing it, that's just because like by its very nature, it makes like defending against it makes you seem like you're playing into it. It's really hard to fight that way.
How can our listeners find your work?
So if everyone's fleeing Twitter, it seems, under the reign of our like apartheid emerald meme king. I guess please subscribe to my Substack, The Sword and the Sandwich. I know that's a mouthful, but it's all there. I write about the American right. And then every Friday I write about a different sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then please check out my book, Culture Warlords, which has been out for a while, but the first chapter in particular is like a capsule history of American anti-Semitism that I think is a very useful reference point for where we are.
Good. Well, I hope our listeners will check that out. Tal, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, Caitlin, are you ready for some out of context cancellations?
Yes, of course. I was born ready, baby. Let's go.
So one of our listeners asked to cancel washer dryer stacks having a bad washer, but the dryer's fine. But they don't make the model of washer anymore, so you have to get both of them replaced.
Well, which, that's annoying.
That sounds very annoying.
Yeah.
That sounds very annoying. I will say, I'm jealous that our listener has a washer and dryer in unit.
Yeah.
I miss having a washer dryer on the premises.
See, I have one in the basement and it's real dusty down there. And it's like coin operated, even though this is like a 4-unit house. So, you know, I don't know.
I mean, at least you have one on the premises, but yes, in this unit is better. In unit is better.
Totally.
But I'm sorry that one of them broke and you have to replace it and it's a nightmare, because that still is really annoying, even though I'm a little bit jealous of you. Like, your problems are still real. So
keeping with the home repair theme, another listener wants to cancel their HVAC system dying without warning.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-mm. And this is a tough time of year for that.
And then, you know, I think this is a really good one. The wildfires in Oregon and Washington. Hate that shit.
At least they weren't started by gender reveal parties this time.
They will be again. We know they will be again. Okay, this is my favorite out of context cancellation this week. Yeah. How about we cancel everything and just have a nice little vacation?
That sounds good.
I really want that. Can we do that? Can we just can the cancel daddy make that happen for everybody? Cancel everything. Power? I think so.
Okay. Well, cool. It is decreed.
I wish. Okay.
Oof. What else do we got?
Okay. So someone asked to cancel straight people, which I generally agree with, but some trans people are straight. Aren't you a little bit straight, Caitlin?
I'm a little bit straight. Yes. Unfortunately, it's more of a curse, really.
Yeah. So not all straight people.
I mean, I will sit here and accept my cancellation if that's what it takes. So,
How about cis straight people? I'm down with canceling the cis straight people.
I mean, I feel like that takes up a good percentage of our listenership too. So,
true.
I mean, not all of our listenership. Like, I bet you our listenership is queerer than most shows, but like, I bet you there's some cis straight people in there.
Some of you are okay, I guess. Am I negging our listeners? Is that what's happening right now? I mean,
they can absolve their sins by contributing to our Patreon, right?
That sounds so great.
We'll just be the queer Roman Catholic Church over here.
That was pretty good. Some other out of context cancellation are suburban lawns and homeowners associations doing a lot of like home stuff this week.
It's like HGTV over here.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I am relatedly, I'm like trying to get my life together, like yes. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and part of that is like just kind of like redoing and like making my apartment like look nice. And I've gotten really into like home renovation shows. So listeners, amazing. If you have recommendations for ones that are good, because so many of them are so bad, and also ones that are like design heavy, mm-hmm. I would love to hear them. So please tweet at us, email us. I want to hear about them.
And I have no idea what this next one is.
Oh, I do. The next one is cancel making the perfect quiplash entry and fucking it up with a typo.
What is quiplash?
So it's one of the Jackbox games where like,
what is a Jackbox game?
Okay. A Jackbox game is a game where you can play with your friends and they have like there's different games and they're really funny and they're really fun group games.
Okay.
Let me look up which one Quiplash is real quick.
Okay. Maybe this is too much context.
Yeah. So basically a Quiplash, it's like a game that you can play from your phone with the TV and it like gives you a prompt. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at their website right now and one of the like potential prompts is something you'd be surprised to see a donkey do. And so you and all your friends write something that you'd be surprised to see a donkey do. And then everyone votes on what's the best answer and whoever gets the most votes wins. Okay. And so someone had a really good one, but spelled it wrong.
No. Yeah. What a tragedy.
Such a tragedy.
Yeah. And if you want to contribute to our out of context cancellations, you can do so on our
Patreon. And you can also send us tips to keep our show going and get episodes early at patreon.com/cancelmedaddy. Today's show was made by me, Oliver Ash Klein, and my fabulous co-host, Caitlin Burns.
Dee Peterschmidt made our theme song and Eden MW designed our graphics.
Our show is made possible by the incredible canceller supporting our work, especially the member of our canceller Hall of Fame, with the great power to cancel all enemies, Meg.
We appreciate your support.
Happy canceling!